From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, presenting the truths of God's Word as preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We're delighted to have you with us today. We hope you'll stay tuned for the continuation of Dr. Cairns' message on Christ the Divine Teacher. From the text in Matthew chapter 13, we see that the Lord Jesus frequently used parables to instruct people in eternal truths. Dr. Cairns will show how Christ's unforgettable teaching drove home major spiritual lessons. In the course of the program, we'll also hear some sacred music that seeks to honor our Lord. First, here is Dr. Cairns with today's hot topic, Evangelicals Welcome Speaker Who Rejects Jesus as the Christ.
Evangelical Christians have mostly been supportive of the nation of Israel. They have seen the emergence of the Jewish state in the Holy Land as a fulfillment of prophecy, especially of Ezekiel 37. Personally, I have no difficulty with this opinion. I know that the Scripture places Israel back in her own land, though still in unbelief and Christ's rejection, before the second coming of our Savior. That the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948 commenced the accomplishment of this prophecy is entirely plausible. So the generally supportive attitude of evangelicals toward the State of Israel in its unremitting war for survival in the face of constant threats to wipe her out of existence is entirely understandable. That such support should take the form of financial donations to Jewish charities is to be expected and even welcomed. However, this support of Israel must never be at the expense of fidelity to Christ. In recent years, an American lawyer who has gone with her family to live in a West Bank settlement has developed a peculiar ministry. She visits evangelical churches in the United States with a view to raising money. So far, so good. But here's where the story takes an ominous twist. In those visits, she speaks to the congregation, telling of the call of God to do what she's doing, exhorting the gathered Christians to get on board. When asked how she dealt with the evangelical doctrine that unless she received Jesus as her Messiah, she would perish eternally, she replied, with a stunning absence of logic, that she would not perish in hell for rejecting Jesus because she did not believe that he was the Messiah. Now, that is the opinion of all Orthodox Jews. They reject Jesus as the Messiah. The question is there a legitimate place in the pulpit of a Christian church for a person who openly avows her rejection of Jesus as the Christ? Should such an unbeliever be presenting what purports to be God's message to a Christian congregation? And, out of deference to such a speaker, should a Christian pastor prevaricate on the question as to whether Jews who reject Jesus as the Christ will be lost? Certainly the Lord Jesus didn't. He said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And again he said, "If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." That should be clear enough. So, how can an evangelical pastor fumble such a question? The Florida pastor of the church that welcomed the Jewish lawyer did fumble the question. Having accepted the Jewish lady as his guest speaker and as a representative of God and his word for that congregation, he could hardly say that she was going to hell. At least, he clearly felt that he couldn't say such a thing. So, one compromise has led to another. Let's be clear. No matter how much Christians sympathize with the cause of Israel, Christian churches should never turn their pulpits and congregations over to any who deny the fundamental truth of the gospel, namely that God has made our Savior both Lord and Christ. Dr. Bob Jones Sr.'s maxim comes to mind, "It is never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right." There are other ways to give money to needy Jews than by entering into religious fellowship with Christ deniers.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're glad for the blessing that the Lord has been to your heart through the preaching of the Word of God. And many of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. Among other things, we'd like to remind you of our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. A new edition is now available, and it's free to those who ask. This particular issue of the LTBS Quarterly contains a wonderful story of the wonder of full redemption based on 1 Corinthians 15, written by Dr. Charles Barrett. Other articles that you will find to be inspiring and challenging include five different articles on the doctrines of grace by five of our Free Presbyterian ministers. Also, there's a focus on the wonderful city of Dundee, Scotland, which was the home of the great preacher Robert Murray McShane. Very inspiring articles. You may have the magazine free simply by asking for it. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish to email us, that address is ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. And don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We do hope to hear from you, and we also hope that you will join us on our website this week.
In every parable, you have a symbol. That's the story. And then you have the fulfillment of it. That's the interpretation. Now, those are the two elements in every parable. But obviously, there has to be a third element that makes the symbol a fit illustration of the thing that is being illustrated. There's a technical term that theologians use for this. To try and get around a whole lot of big words, they have a little Latin phrase, and they call this the tertium comparationis, which really is the third of comparison. What does that mean? It means that there's a third element in every parable. If I may symbolize it or describe it this way, it's like a bridge.
It has one foot here and one foot here, and it brings the both sides together. In the parable, you don't only have the symbol and the thing symbolized, but you have a third undefined, unspoken element that makes this a fit symbol of that. In other words, it is the essence or the ground of the comparison. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ's parables, you'll find that there is always this which is unspoken, but is easily recognizable, that makes the illustration clearly comprehensible and right. And you can say, now I can see why he uses that, which I can understand, to define and describe that which would otherwise be very mysterious. There is, in every good illustration, there is that unspoken element which people will, without being able to isolate it, define it, or even stop to think it's there, they will immediately feel the rightness of this. Now, just a word again to the preachers in passing. You've got to be very careful here, because though people don't think of this, you should. And you should always make sure in any illustration you're giving that there is that third unspoken element, that it really is a fit means of conveying the truth you want to convey. I have heard more garbage and more heresy taught by means of illustration. Let me give you one outstanding example. Came up here some years ago when the abortion protests were at their height, and when there were those like, well, I'll not get into names because I could, but I'll not do that this morning, for this is not a sermon on abortion, or those protesting it. When there were eminent people, put it that way, who said, let me give you an illustration. If you saw a man with a shotgun going into a house, you knew that man had already killed 500 children, and he's going into that house with a shotgun, and you know that he's going there to shoot more children, would you not, if you had a gun in your hand, tell him to stop or you'll shoot him? And if he doesn't stop, would you not be justified in shooting him? Well, an abortion doctor has already killed many, and he's going in to do it again. So you'd be justified in killing him. Hence we had bombings and killings of abortion doctors. Always be careful of anybody who establishes a doctrine by an illustration. If you can't establish it from Scripture in plain teaching, be careful of the man who wants to establish it first and foremost by an illustration. What is wrong, and I'm not getting into the details, what is wrong with that illustration is it lacks that tertium comparationis. It lacks that which is necessary to make this a basis for this. You remember in the life of the Lord Jesus, the disciples came to him, and they were in Samaria, and the Samaritans were a bit churlish. So immediately, gentle John and the others said, Lord, will you have us, after all they had been doing miracles before, Lord, will you have us call down fire from heaven as Elijah did? Now it seemed impeccable logic. There's the illustration. Elijah called down fire from heaven on God's enemies. Here are God's enemies. We will call down fire from heaven. Jesus said, you don't know what kind you are of. But what he's telling him is, you're not of God in saying this. There is a surface logic, but it lacked the real bridge, as it were, the third element. That was never missing in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. His parables were always perfect as illustrations for what would otherwise be mysterious. Look at Matthew 13 as an example. In the first parable, the lesson simply is the Word of God is living and life-giving. But there are many ways of hearing that living Word without profit. And the only proof that you've heard it profitably is that you bring forth spiritual fruit. Now that could be taught in those terms. If the Lord Jesus had taught it in those terms, I dare say not one person in 100, even in churches today, would remember it. How much more powerful is it, how much more memorable is that truth when he says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And he reaches into their own experience. Perhaps even as he was telling it, they could turn away and look in the distance and see the sower at work. But certainly they had seen him at work. There was something here that they immediately could understand. There was also an intrinsic rightness in the illustration. So when they saw the sower, they thought of the seed, they saw the ground. They could immediately, or they should immediately, have been able to grasp great truth that many of them didn't, as obvious as we've shown time. You could go through the rest of these, the tares in the wheat, for example. The lesson is simply that Satan introduces false professors into the church. And despite all appearances, these people are not saved. For the moment, they appear to be saved, and they occupy their place with impunity. But their damnation is sure. And it's coming. That's the lesson. But again, how much more memorable, unforgettable it is when he gives the parable of the tares and the wheat. If he had simply said to his people, "Look, the work of the church on earth will start in a small way, but it's going to grow to something great, and it is going to succeed." No doubt that would have been heard with a mixture of astonishment and joy. We're starting small because everybody wants to start with a bang. But he said, "No, this is like a grain of mustard seed." And of course, the truth is, it's not the initial size of the instrument God uses. It's the inherent life and power that is in it. That's the important thing. And so you could go on. I said there were a couple of misunderstood parables here. In Numbers 5 and 6 of the parables, the lesson is that the Lord paid the ultimate price to redeem his people out of the world. You know, it's not Christ who is the hid treasure. It's his people who are the hid treasure. It's sinners like you and me. And he paid everything to purchase us. And it stands interpretation on its head to say that we paid anything to purchase him. We didn't. Similarly, with the pearl of great price. Now we can say, and even Spurgeon preached a great sermon on Christ as the pearl of great price. We could call him that, just as we call him the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. But the Bible doesn't call him that. The Bible, if you want to check the Song of Solomon, you'll find I'm right here. The Bible calls us the lily of the valleys. The Bible, in fact, Christ calls us a rose of Sharon. We have taken those to be exclusive descriptions of Christ to speak of his unique beauty. Actually, they're used by Christ of us, not only to speak of how he beholds our beauty, but to say in human terms, "You really are very common things, but I see in you the beauty of divine grace." So here, the pearl of great price is how Christ views his church, and he sells everything in order to spend all he is and has to purchase our redemption. Now, he could have put that in so many words, but when telling a parable, it makes it unforgettable.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.